With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
I'm just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Dukes and Bell. John Chuck Rian for Carl today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mike Bell in the house. It is his gas leak alert 2019.
Yeah, I'm walking to work today here in Midtown. I look up and I see the fire trucks and I see the cops and I see the motorcycle cops and I see people coming this way. Like, wow. I go, either it's a movie being made, there's a fire, a jumper, they never jump, or it's a gas leak. And it was ding, dee, the gas leak.
Yeah, they have 14th. Peachtree Road is shut down between 14th and 16th Street. Is there any of my WSB girls down there? Oh, sorry.
Well, if there's any camera crews, feel free to get in the shot, kids, right in front of Norfolk Southern. Before they moved to their new headquarters, which is being built down close to Georgia Tech.
They have the whole street now torn right up and everything like that. So I don't know how long it's going to be, but they might get done by the time we're ready to get out of here.
They said initially 4 o'clock, but I think that's going to go over.
The rain didn't help. It just poured down rain here in Midtown about an hour and a half ago. So
how you feeling, brother? First hour in. How you feeling?
Yeah. Well, this is easy peasy.
You caffeinated?
No, not since a few hours ago.
No. I'm just vibing on the pace, man. No. You're very, very intense. It's good.
No, man. I do meth. I mean, so anyway, let's get to the NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Well, it was a crazy story yesterday, Mike. If you remember He Hate Me from the XFL,
yeah.
Rod Smart, they had a missing persons alert out for him up in South Carolina, and it turns out that he was found, and I've been to this town. He was found in Indianland, South Carolina, which is literally just right over the border of North Carolina. If you've ever been to Charlotte, you go to Ballantyne, jump on that road, go straight down, and Indianland is actually a pretty nice area in there. I did a bunch of work there years and years ago, but he was found safe, according to the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office. They said he'd been reported missing, but he was found. People were like, it was unusual for him to be out of touch this long, but thank goodness he was found. He's 42 years old now, did play, obviously a season with the Eagles, played 4 years with the Panthers, but most famously the He Hate Me nickname that he had on the back of his XFL jersey.
Got to go to that first game out there at Sam Boyd Stadium against the New Jersey New York Hitmen. That was kind of a good time.
Wow.
For about a half.
Who was the coach for that team?
It was, I think it might have been Perlis from Michigan State, I want to say. Because remember, they had the in-camera in the locker room and all that. It was just so bananas. They had it was almost like the movie The Replacements. They had strippers from a lot of the Vegas strip clubs masking as cheerleaders with beers funneling down this. It was Sodom and Gomorrah. We left at halftime. It was so bad. Max and Bob and I happened in the back of a pickup truck. There's no cars. There's no taxis out there. So a couple of Mexican guys, literally, we said, hey, I'll give you $20 to get me back to Mandalay Bay. And that was my XFL experience.
I know you don't listen to wrestling podcasts, but one of the guys who was behind the scenes for like 20-some-odd years at WWE, his name is Bruce Pritchard, and he's got this immensely popular wrestling podcast. Well, one of the topics that they talked about was the XFL, and he talked about the cheerleaders. They were so – when he was – going with the cheerleaders, he was sold a bill of goods that these girls were doctors and lawyers and all this kind of stuff. And it turns out they were just all dancers from all the different clubs around town.
And remember, that was the one where it was on the first game, and they said that McMahon and now our commissioner, it's Dick Butkus. And, of course, the famous line is, other leagues, they flip a coin. In our league, you've got to earn the football. And a guy blows out his shoulder or breaks his collarbone on the scramble to get the ball, and they roll out in midfield. And then McMahon, of course, this is the XFL. For a month, no. For about 2 weeks, it was really good. The documentary, the 30 for 30, was something.
Yeah.
Real quick sidebar, because we're doing the Blitz here, but do you think because potential for a labor problem with the NFL in 2021, do you think they're really going to – can McMahon help himself, or is he still going to resort to, some shenanigans with this league? Or is he going to be above board?
I think he did learn, Mike. And look, now he's a billionaire. He is at a different level financially than even he was back there. He doesn't need anybody to help him out now, and he's going to run the whole show. I think he learned from his mistakes. I think what McMahon is smart in doing is this is not going to be anything trying to compete with or tie in. Did you read that ESPN article about the AAF?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, just, again, it was all born on false pretense. And I think
exactly.
that because it was Ebersole's son and his connections, everyone just assumed that this thing was legit. And even funnier was when you had the Hurricanes owner from the NHL get involved, all they were looking to do was trying to see how some of this – and it was interesting because even the league itself was more concerned on how could the gambling technology be
– Exactly. That's what they wanted.
It was almost like Westworld. They wanted to use all the computer programs, get it out of the get the software, and be able to apply that for another league. And that's basically what all the things Dog and Pony Show was
about.
Yeah,
because North Carolina and South Carolina are trying to talk about legalizing gambling as well. And they just legalized gambling in Illinois to where – Soldier Field is going to be one of the venues, along with Wrigley and, I don't know, it's not called Comiskey, but whatever they call the White Sox game.
Right.
They're going to set up where they're going to be allowed, if they choose, those stadiums will be allowed, Mike, to have legalized gambling in them.
Now, we've talked about this in Georgia. I know that people have their own feelings about gambling one way or the other. Once other people start making money around the country, Georgia will eventually be dragged kicking and screaming to gambling and will realize that, hey, we missed out on billions of dollars. I just don't know for my ADD if I could handle an app where I'm literally betting on every play, on every strike, on every run. Will they run or throw? I mean, they'll have real-time software. That's
yes.
They haven't got the bugs out of it yet, but that's part of what the American Alliance of Footballers and Pipefitters was about.
Real quick, I was running the NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell. Darren Revell had a story because Sunday was the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of legalized sports book betting in New Jersey. $2.99 billion in 1 year that was bet on. They're averaging over $330 million a month, Mike. So all these people that are getting all upset about movies leaving and all that kind of stuff, why don't we bring gambling in here and start raking in some dollars?
A couple of things, and we've talked about this with the convention business. Once they put a bigger casino in Orlando, that's going to really hurt the convention business. Atlanta and Orlando kind of go toe-to-toe on a lot of events. You've got to put something here. We've got a number of neighborhoods that are already shot. So if you want to say, well, it'll ruin the neighborhood, the neighbor's already ruined. You know what I'm talking about, kids. We could throw it downtown at underground Atlanta. I know they're doing the best they can over on off of Northside. There's a lot of options we have. Let's hope that somebody puts it together. Because you're right, man. The money. Here's tangible proof. We have a smaller population per capita. But still, guys will be throwing money around like crazy.
You get people from Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee. You get people coming all over the southeastern United States to come bet if they can do sports.
All right, real quick.
And by the way, over 80 something percent is done through your phone and all that. It's, you don't even have to be there. You can just bet through your phone.
And I want horse racing, too. Can't we get a horse track? Come on. We're in the South, John. Wear a nice suit. Lady gets dressed up in a dress. We go out. Or whatever. Just wear Daisy
as
Dukes.
As long as it's not one of those dog tracks. I've been to those, man.
The world's most depressing place in the world. Dog track.
Wheeling, West Virginia. Holy cow.
Remember the scene in Ocean's 11? That's the St. Petersburg dog track? Yeah, even worse. Anyway, more on that later. Let's talk about the NFL.
Cam Newton and his timing with receivers is a work in progress. Now, I thought it was dumb when they decided that they were going to film every throw online because some reporter or somebody had taken pictures of Cam, you know, because between the shoulder surgery that he had in January coming back from, and then supposedly he's changed up his motion. They wanted to get out front, so they did the most millennial thing possible and said, we're going to live stream Cam Newton's throws, all of it. Now, he's obviously tweaking his mechanics and everything. Head coach Ron Rivera noted at the end of the offseason program that they didn't get a lot of time to work together this spring, so it means the chemistry needs some attention. Timing's always a work in progress, and that's kind of what happens when you don't go through a spring. But, again, he's had a good offseason. He's done everything the trainers and doctors have asked him, and he's still got a little bit more work over the next 4.5 to 5 weeks.
Now, I think because of the Andrew Luck scenario, a lot of people have been kind of, as you said, the media is kind of all, you know, they're sharpening the knives. Oh, this is the end of Cam Newton. I think it's huge for him because he's got the contract year coming up. I mean, are you willing to throw the big money at Cam if he can't throw the ball the way he used to? Now, despite having a cannon, I think you'd agree, he still misses on some of the high percentage stuff in the flat and, you know, inside 10 yards.
Well, it makes you wonder why they drafted Will Greer, too. You know, they drafted Will Greer, and you don't draft, with all due respect, you don't draft Will Greer to be a backup for the next 3 or 4 years. And by the way, Cam has also hinted, you hear some of his people, maybe when this contract's over, he's just done with football.
Well, I can't speak to that. We had his dad on here a couple of years back. I mean, in the prime of his career off the MVP season. I mean, the guy, I mean, I can't imagine you walking away from a Matt Ryan, you know, Aaron Rodgers type contract. But one thing for certain, you're right, going with Greer, who had a monster year for West Virginia, they do have a security blanket there. Matthew Stafford, by the way, speaking of QBs, we didn't get to this yesterday on the Blitz, played with broken bones in his back. So the injury report came out late last season, a designation of a back injury for the last month of the year. It was a never kept him off the field, but it wasn't really specific as to what exactly is wrong with the man.
How about all the stuff going on in the Stafford household lately between his wife and then Matt with all this going on out there?
And for those who don't know, she had a tumor removed and the complications of that. Beautiful family. I know a lot of folks have seen them in Buckhead. He's got a place here in Atlanta. Him and the Ryans, Matt and his wife, are very tight.
Yeah, absolutely. And but that's going to be a feel-good story because all indications are she's going to be okay with all of this.
But that's scary stuff, man. Don't mess with the back, as we know from Tiger Woods or anybody else who's had the misfortune of having to go under the knife. Broken bones in the back. Was he supposed to say that? Well, it's been reported. So Mike O'Hara on the WGR podcast, and maybe they were trying to keep this quiet, but it's out there now that Stafford was not right the last month of the season.
Well, they're not going to use that as an excuse for why they were no good, right?
Well, what is Matthew Stafford to you?
A B-level quarterback. I mean, physically.
Got all the tools, got all the talent. My argument for Stafford in the initial run was they never gave him a bona fide running game. You know, you never had a running back to take the pressure off. They had some good defensive pieces, you know, and they had Sue back there and us on those guys. But then they just kind of misplayed their hand. They never put the pieces around him. And then, you know, you give the guy the opportunity. I've seen him do some dramatic stuff. I've seen him win games, come from behind. But he's still one of those guys you just kind of shrug, like you just did when you mentioned Matthew Stafford.
You know, when I look at guys in the NFL, though, Mike, to me, there are guys that win a lot in the NFL, and there are guys that don't win a lot in the NFL. And you can tell me about running games and defenses. I get all that. I understand. There's a reason why those guys get all the money, though. There's a reason why they eat up 20, 30% of your salary cap. And by the way, remember, when they had Stafford, Calvin, and Ndamukong Suh, that was almost half their salary. That was about 40%. So you weren't going to have a whole lot. If you're going to pay those three guys the kind of money that Detroit had to pay them, you weren't going to have a lot of great quality pieces that were going to mix in with that.
Take a look at Atlanta, because we're going to be in that same boat once Julio gets his bump, by the way, which is going to be coming before Labor Day, according to some published reports.
Well, last night we talked about Diana Russini, I believe is her name, had tweeted out about the fact that they expect Julio Jones's contract, which I think a lot of this knew, that it's supposed to be done by the time training camp starts. Look, everybody knows. He of the three main guys, right, Mike? Debo, Grady, Julio. Julio's the easiest of the three to get something done because it's really just a matter of adding some years, move some money around, increase this. It's not looking at doing a whole new deal or reworking a deal the way, you know, obviously Debo's going to go into free agency. Grady's on a franchise tag. So Julio should be done, and if nothing else, that at least gives them some direction and guidelines. Do you agree? They need to get Debo or Grady. Just get one of those guys done.
I'm with
before
you.
Before we get in the season.
I think Debo's a guy that stirs the drink. I mean, plus he's a leader on that team. But all the things that he does and how obviously, you know, you missed him last year. The guy makes plays sideline to sideline. He's not the old, remember, not the old days, the middle linebacker where you look like Ray Lewis. You're gone. This is a guy that can pass defend, can do everything. You know, I love Debo. When you meet the guy, he's serious as a heart attack. There's no screwing around when you talk to Debo. In the case of Grady, love Grady too. I just hate the fact that I've got to pay for a guy who's not as good as Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox money. But you have to.
I was going to say.
He's the best guy in the defensive line.
I was going to say, what are you going to play without him?
Nope. You're going to get, the least worst case scenario, you know, at the bare minimum, you got him under the franchise tag. But that doesn't help the team. You want to lock him up long term. You got Keanu Neal. We learned when we were up at camp a few weeks back talking to some of the coaches that you never hear Devondre Campbell's name called because he does such a great job locking up tight ends and coverage.
Yeah, he ain't going to be here.
But they don't want to lose him. And as a fan, I don't want to lose Devondre Campbell either. But those are guys you won't be able to afford.
Want a hot take? Want me to go hot take?
Give me a hot take. Give me a hot take, Tommy Mott.
If Dan Quinn is not the head coach of this team, Keanu Neal won't be here in Atlanta. Keanu Neal fits what Dan Quinn wants to do.
Seattle style.
I don't know that another head coach, if you have another guy, that Keanu Neal exactly fits that, and especially for the kind of money. I mean, his friend, you know, he's going to make like 3-4 this year to like 10.7 next year with that fifth-year
option.
That's a big number for a team to have to eat for – Well, you know, safety, because it just you see in the market, sometimes these guys aren't valued the way that a team like Atlanta values them.
As a fan, you want to keep all these guys, but it's what how Dan Quinn's system to what John was just saying plays out. Yeah, the safety's a big part of it. This team has got to win this year for Dan Quinn. I don't know. I mean, we've gone round and round with this, Carl and I, and I know you've talked about it at night, about what Arthur's expectations are. Is there a benchmark you've got to get to this?
Yeah, I think it's got to be playoffs or Dan Quinn's not here.
I mean, is it NFC Championship playoffs?
No, I think you got to win one in the playoffs. I think, honestly, if this team is not playing postseason football, I don't think that. Now, I'm not going to speak for Thomas because I thought Thomas was gone the last time, and they had that whole press conference thing down.
Thomas will never get fired. Thomas will always survive. Arthur loves Thomas, and I think Thomas is one of those guys. He'll be a bartending in the Keys, and Thomas will still be general manager of the Falcons.
Could be. I thought he was gone the last time when they had the ceremony down at Arthur's Foundation down there in Buckhead and all that, and that awkward press conference.
Great question from my buddy J.P. Peterson, who works down in Tampa. First question at the press conference, Arthur, why is he still here? You know, looking at Thomas, because generally the rule of thumb is...
Wait a second, didn't I ask that question? Hold on, cha-cha. Didn't I ask that?
Nope, you're going to clean house. No. But yeah, man, in the case of Dimitroff, the great pieces that he's added in the skill position, offensive line's been the struggle. That's why I've been bellyaching about it for a decade. They finally addressed it. We think we got the right guys. We'll talk more about what Dan Quinn had to say. There's a big piece in the Falcons website about how Lindstrom is filling in. I mean, you've got all the pieces. The defense is back. We've got everything in place to do exactly what you did in 16, if not better. And that's not trying to sound like a guy with pom-poms. That's just being realistic in this division.
Absolutely. When we get back, it's time for the Dog Report. And ESPN put out an article about toughest non-conference schedules. Where does Georgia fit into all of that? It's Dukes and Bell. Chuck Rian for Carl Dukes. Mike Bell is here. We'll be back. Sports Radio, Nights in the Game.
I saw you at the paddock before the second race outside the men's room when I placed my bet. I saw you before you even got up this morning.
Is that your hound way in the rear there?
He breaks late. Everyone knows this.
Enjoy 92.9 The Game is coming Friday from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. The midday show is going to broadcast live from 10 to 2. And Dukes and Bell going to be out there from 2. Who's on that show?
Now, can we trust you in this environment on Friday?
What? Excuse me?
Can we trust you in this environment?
What do you mean?
There'll be alcohol. There'll be people. See, the thing is, we're not supposed to drink, and then people bring us shots. And then it's like, you know, I know the corporate policy is no booze, but it's a man law thing. I think man law overrides corporate policy. Brings you a shot, I got to drink the shot.
Driving the left lane real fast, get home. Stop by Twin Peaks in Kennesaw this coming Friday. Enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers, wings, sandwiches. And Twin Peaks girls serve up the coldest beer, including Hey Man Ale. Chuck Rian for Carl Dukes, Dukes and Bell. Mike Bell here hanging out with you to go until 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, man. And by the way, we will have the ice cold Hey Man, so come by and see us. Always appreciate, we always like to tell you, when you do take the time, we appreciate it, Carl and I and the guys at Oconee Brewing. When you drink the brew and take the picture and post it on the Twitter, we love that. And we'd love even more if we'd have, like, pouring rights at Sanford Stadium for a Georgia game. Wouldn't that be something special?
Absolutely. Speaking of the dogs, let's get to our dogs report.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Mike Bell, Bo Morgan, our producer. By the way, Bo and CCV back there, you both sound great, looking great. So glad you all are here.
If we ever put the modules in so we could hear these guys, and for those that are new to the show, just because sometimes we got to bring you in, sometimes we talk about this stuff in shorthand. A couple of months back, for whatever reason, our boss decided, we don't know who the culprit was. One of the producers were probably yapping too much. And they pulled the plug on it.
You want me to name names?
No. I don't want to get roped into this. Again, you get to breeze in and out of here. I gotta work here during the day. You come in at night.
I hear about all the crap too. Don't worry, son.
No, but the thing is,
I don't get the glory. I get to hear all the crap though.
For whatever reason,
I'm Danny DeVito. I get that leftover crap.
They took away the ability for the producers and the engineers to speak. Not that somebody on the station would use it as a crutch, but sometimes, like, Craig has got a fun story why he's late. Squid Billy's going to give us a factoid or correct us on something. And the boss, this is getting to the point it's ridiculous. Every other company, every other show. I was watching Dan Le Batard this morning on ESPN. His guys obviously are talking. Come on. Free the producers. Back to you, Chuck Reed.
So ESPN put out an article ranking college football's toughest 2019 non-conference schedules. And I got to be honest with you, some of this is pretty unimpressive when you look at some of this list. Now, they have Stanford, Mikey, number one, because they get Northwestern, Central Florida, and Notre Dame as they're out of conference. Right, am I supposed to be like that excited or impressed by
you know,
that?
That's the thing when you say, now again, because to its definition, this is out of conference. But when you add up everything that the SEC schools, and we'll talk more about what Georgia's got and other schools, they've got difficult schedules as well. But Central Florida is like what Boise State was in its prime, John. Nobody wants to play those guys. I mean, why would you schedule that one? And they're going to Orlando. I mean, seriously, you got nothing. You're playing a pro style offense. You got a good defense, but you're going up against a team that can score 50 points. That's a team that would frighten me, even if I was Stanford.
I'm Stanford, and I'm lining up, and I'm going to run those guys over. I'm going to take my two tight ends, my two running backs, and guess what? My quarterback will throw it 7 times in that game.
You mean like what Auburn should have done?
Yeah, really. I mean, I'm going to line up and hammer everybody.
Oh, by the way, Auburn gets knocked out of the College World Series today.
Oh, they officially eliminated?
By Louisville.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So who does that leave? Louisville and Michigan?
Yeah, Florida State. Actually, the undefeated Vandy and Miss State are playing right now. Florida State plays tonight. That's an elimination game as well.
Yeah, Michigan's been kind of the surprise of the College World Series. They've got Duke at number two with Alabama, North Carolina, A&T, and Middle Tennessee. And then, like, because everybody schedules Notre Dame, then they all get – and by the way, this is what's dumb about saying Duke and Notre Dame. I get that it's not a conference game. Notre Dame plays six teams in the ACC. It's right. They're only just not a member in football, Mike.
Well, that's their. They actually brought this up years ago. Swarbrick, the AD, said we'll call this just the tip. So they play in every other sport. They're all in all the other conferences. I think it was for
you're worried about me at Kennesaw.
No, I'm just saying they play basketball in the ACC. They play, but for football, it's just the tip.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole anyway.
Well,
so
now you're expanding on that.
Yeah, okay,
that dirty joke.
So anyway, Georgia does come in on this list, Mike, at number 10. They Murray State, Arkansas State, Notre Dame, and Georgia Tech.
Now Georgia Tech Georgia Tech is the great unknown. We have high praise for Jeff Collins.
You.
Don't know what they're going to be yet.
Notre Dame's not going to be good this year. If they can get to six, Mike, they're going. That's what you're hoping for.
You've already talked about Notre Dame and what they bring to everybody's schedule and beefs it up. But when you take it in the totality, we're just talking out of conference. That's what Bo brought this up, and he punched up the numbers for us. But when you look at who else is playing Auburn, Texas A&M, Florida, I mean, that's what other team in the Big 12 or the Big 10 has a run of games like Georgia has in October, November? Nobody.
Right.
Kentucky was a 10-win team last year. Now, granted, they're going to go back down to be in Kentucky, but still, the SEC, that's why, I mean, I think if you're a Georgia fan, you can hold your head high, despite the fact you've got two opponents that, you know, most people could care less about, Murray State and Arkansas State.
The Dukes and Bell Dog Report here as we look at...
Brought to you, by the way, by BrightBox, John.
Okay.
BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500 for man caves, home security, or more.
I love it. Here is the byproduct, though, Mike, of what a four-team playoff has caused. While it may not look so good this year, you look at the future matchups. You know, Georgia's got UCLA. They've got Oklahoma. You know, everybody is signing all these big out-of-conferences. Because with four teams, you're going to have to figure out how to distinguish it. Now, I always say all the time, you're going to get a cupcake or two, and the reason for that is because that relationship is good. Look, Murray State. If Murray State ever wants to build a weight room and or increase the weight room, they have to come get their butt kicked by Georgia. That's just part of it. They need to check. And then Georgia gets a win, and they don't have any risk of losing, Mike, and they can play second and third stringers and put those guys in real-time game action and figure out what they've got. But Georgia's going to load up over the next several years. So because of four teams and not going to eight, teams are going to have to load up, and you're seeing those non-conference games
now,
come along.
We've talked about this. We have tried to figure out what's going on inside that football playoff committee meeting room. It's a moving target. I think we've kind of stabilized now. Strength of schedule does matter. Whooping up on opponents does matter. The eye test, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, if you're Georgia, you're playing Notre Dame. You're going through the crucible of SEC play. You're moving down. Now, down the road, you're going to get back to playing Clemson. You've got more of these big, you know, home and homes, which I think if you're Georgia, you should always play. Alabama, of course, they're at the top of the mountain. They'll take on all comers. Clemson will play anybody. That was no cakewalk to go down to Texas A&M last year at Kyle Field.
Oh, absolutely. And Texas A&M comes up there, comes into Death Valley this year.
I mean, how about that? Now, talk about out of conference. You know, Clemson for Texas A&M, in conference, coming to Sanford Stadium.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, Jimbo is trying to change what the Sumlin perception was, a team that fades, can't win games in October, November.
So this is the other byproduct, Mike, because you just hit on it, actually. They've been, you know, everybody's been complaining about attendance at these college football games, and that attendance has been down for several years across, doesn't matter what conference, SEC, everybody is down. Well, that's what happens when you have Murray State and Arkansas State as your non-conference. With all due respect, you ain't drawing anybody in. Now you look at Georgia, Texas A&M's coming to Athens, Notre Dame's coming to Athens, and I understand they still got Murray State and Arkansas State, but my point is, when part of it is, if you want to bring people back in, you can tell me about alcohol. That's only going to push so many people into the stands, having alcohol in there. You got to have good football. You got to have competition. You have games that people want to drive from wherever. I'm going to drive from Douglasville to Athens, Georgia. I need to see somebody better than Murray State.
Well, that's just, I've always said, especially to my friends that are boosters, and I got a couple of buddies that are class of 88, you know, Johnny Plops, Kinkamehameha, what's up, guys? But, I mean, if you're spending all that money on your boosters, and again, if you're that really big money booster who gets the chance to have alcohol but you don't get to see the game while you're drinking it, yippee, they are putting teams on the schedule which you want to see, to your point. If I'm dropping that kind of coin that gets me in the stadium, for instance, Florida State, I'm a booster. I haven't done season tickets this year. You know why? When you suck, you're on at noon. And when you play Murray State, you're on at noon, and nobody wants to be on 316 at 8:30 in the morning to tailgate for a crap game. That's a part of the equation.
Imagine when you're in the Central Time Zone, and that becomes an 11 o'clock in the morning right. game. You know, you're the and I hate to say it, Raycom.
Well, it depends.
To our fine friends at Raycom, yeah. We love them over there.
Hey, by the way, Dog Report brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox Electrical. You need a backup generator? Get the juice, man, if the power goes out. Call them today at 770-901-2500. I will give it that a boy to SC. BYU, those guys are always tough. They're playing at BYU, and they're playing Notre Dame as well. It's the historic matchup with USC.
Yes, that's because they stink. Southern Cal and the Pac-12, they stink out there.
All right, Michigan. What's
and by the way, Lynn Swan shouldn't have a job either, but that's a sidebar.
That's a whole point. Yeah, what a soap opera that's become. Michigan, their crucible outside Big Ten play, Middle Tennessee, Army, and, of course, Notre Dame.
Now, if you don't know, Army legitimately – could be a top 25 team this year.
Is it Munkin that took over there? And he's got him
cooking. Jeff Munkin is the head coach. They've got their quarterback from last year. They were a 10-win team last year. Mike, actually, Army is really good.
And finally beat Navy.
Yes, they are a very good team. And that's part of, truthfully, that's part of what puts them in there. Now, your school, or one of them, one of the four or five, Boise State, was that my second shot?
No, Florida State takes it. Now, here's the thing. Now, real quick, though, but as far as big picture, you've got people like me who lobbied for Willie Taggart, and then you've got buyer's remorse the second. Well, I'll tell you.
Why?
This is a great recruiter. I always thought an African-American coach.
There's a lot of great recruiters.
But I thought
an
African-American coach at Florida State would really kick ass on the
recruiting.
How'd
that work for Randy Shannon down in Miami?
Well, there you go. But in the case of Florida State, I've got a lot of – by the way, I've been disowned by Seminole Nation. He was supposed to be – this was the bill of goods. Play caller, great recruiter. He's not a great recruiter, and he's not even calling the plays. He's got Art Briles' son calling the plays. So there's a lot of there. Some would say it's a bait and switch. Imagine if Florida State loses in Jacksonville to Boise State, to a school that does not have a lot of people don't realize Florida State does not have the donations, does not have the kind of money rolling in that other schools in the ACC do. People are already kind of like getting skittish. This will blow things up for Taggart.
You want another hot take?
Sure, give me two.
Florida State is completely going to waste Cam Akers' career in college. They're going to completely waste his career.
They just wasted DeAndre Francois. Kid went on to FAU. I know he had some situations off the field with a girlfriend, but that kid was a greasy spot between the 50-yard line.
And he got crushed. For 2 years.
I saw him in that Miami game a couple years ago, John, in the medical tent the entire game. But anyway, but that's Florida State's opener, guys. Labor Day weekend down there, as you mentioned, taking on Boise State. And then Clemson. Clemson, they do get that game with Texas A&M. That's a ballsy play, man. But, of course, you get the best team in the world, the best quarterback, some would say.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Clemson's first team to go 15-0. They might do the same thing again this year. They're that good.
What about their defense? Are they just reloading? Because that's what all the guys are wanting. Basically, their entire defensive line.
Because they brought in the number one defensive recruit in the country. What's his name? Xavier Thomas, the defensive end, who, by the way, he'll be a sophomore. So you get him this year, and you get him for one more year as well. So they're completely loaded out there.
You know, Trevor Lawrence is a guy that we've talked so much about the last couple of weeks. You look at the guy, NFL teams are like, we'll take him now. It's like Red Auerbach. Yeah, I'll draft Larry Bird now. I want him. Right. How many teams would draft him right now just to get that guy in there, man?
Can you do that in the NFL at all? Can you hold a guy's rights for a year?
No. He's got to be 3 years from your high school graduation.
No. I'm not talking about him playing. Oh. I'm talking about can you draft his rights and hold him for a year?
Squid will look it up. You know, you give him something to do during the break. It's our In Case You Missed It segment, by the way. It's coming up next.
And, Five Stripes preview, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what's going on last night and what's going on as a schedule. We finally get back to some soccer. And I want to pick your brain, coming up a little bit later in the show, about, that fracas out in Denver, Colorado with the Little League game.
Unbelievable. Dukes and Bell, John Chuck, we in for Carl Dukes. Mike Bell, we will be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Time for the weekly Five Stripes preview.
And it's punched in for a goal.
With Atlanta United announcer Mike Conti. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. The way banking should be.
Well, Mike has got the week off, so Associated Credit Union brings you the Five Stripes preview, as it was a good night for Atlanta United. Mike Bell, John Chuck, we're in for Carl Dukes on Dukes and Bell. Don't forget, follow the station at 929 The Game on Twitter. You can follow at Dukes and Bell 929 on social media. He's at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at JMCH316. You want to interact with us on the Twitters, as they say. So last night, 3-2 victory in a 51-minute delayed, rain-soaked, I don't know what it is about Columbus, Ohio, and I've been there a bunch of times, and it just was miserable. By the way, the whole spring up in the Northeast has been dreadful up there, so everybody's been fighting bad weather. But it was miserable last night, but figured out a way, Mike. More importantly, just figure out a way, get a win. And Mike Conti was tweeting out about had they have stopped the match, as long as United had a lead, they have different rules for this U.S. Open than they do for MLS. They could, with a team ahead, stop the match, and it would count as a victory.
As opposed to an overtime period they had to play in front of no one at Fifth Third Bank the other day against the Charleston Battery. You're right, man. They gave us it was an ugly match. They gave us all we could handle up in the rain the first time around. This time, because of the international rules, you only have five international players in the U.S. Open Cup. But we got to see some American talent, including Brad Guzan in the net. Parkhurst was out there. We talked about what a great job by, again, a guy that we didn't really talk much about, Brandon Vazquez, because so much has been focused on Joseph winning the MVP, all the other guys that contribute can step in. And we talked about Romario Williams and everybody else. But how about the job Vazquez has done first last week against Charleston, and now this week he makes an unbelievable steal. This is like something like Keystone Cops. Take a listen.
Vazquez comes at a free opportunity, slots it home. Make it five goals now in his Open Cup career for Atlanta United. Not missing a beat from the last match. He's already on the board. Vazquez skirts it on through there. Out of nowhere, sloppy play at the back. And it's Atlanta United finding the insurance tally after such great play by Columbus. Atlanta looking to take a trip into the quarterfinals.
Is that from Peter Brady of ESPN Plus?
Yes, that's
that the announcing.
In case you and I were thinking the same thing. In case you're wondering what the quality would be on ESPN Plus, there you have it. Brandon Vazquez, 20 years of age, young stud, doing a great job. And if you didn't kind of understand the play-by-play, which is kind of confusing, he steals the ball. It was sort of a bad touch from the defender, and the ball scoots away from his foot. Brandon says, I'll take it from here, and doesn't wait. Sometimes you get too close to the goalkeeper. He just drew it in, boom, lays it to the right side. So Vazquez doing some things, giving you some confidence. So you know if, heaven forbid, Joseph's going to continue his absence playing with Venezuela or they want to give him a rest, that Vazquez perhaps could be up to, you know, maybe up to the task. He's never really had a chance, John, to play with the starting 11, the real starting 11.
Also good to see Barco back on the pitch last night, of course, coming off the U-20 tournament. So he is back and going to be in full force as well.
Big assist, by the way. He helped out with I guess it was our man, Miles Robinson, who got, if you didn't see it, it was kind of like a header into the ground, kind of a whoop. But the rain, 51-minute rain delay that Squid Billy mentioned earlier, and it's kind of a strange mojo, kind of made it like we've seen this before. I think we've had three games this year where we've had this kind of crappy weather just coming down like tarantula downpours, my dad would say.
Yeah, and it was also one of those things, Mike. It was in the 75th minute last night. So you were late into that match, and you almost kind of like scratch your head and say, okay, should they maybe have called it? I mean, if you're that late into the match, I mean, with that little bit of time left out there. But look, a win is a win. They advance. Now, coming up, it'll be at Fifth Third Bank Stadium on Wednesday, July 10th, against the winner of FC Cincinnati and St. Louis FC, Mike. So, of course, FC Cincinnati, expansion team this year in MLS. We had a chance to see them a little bit earlier. And whoever wins that match, that will be July 10th, which you'll be squeezing that in between a Sunday and Sunday game, one against the Red Bulls on the 7th. And then against Seattle, where they got to go to Seattle, on the 14th there. So,
and this is why we've tried to explain this really for guys that are baseball fans. We'll be talking plenty of Braves guys coming up as DeGrom mows them down last night. More on the Bravos and the Mets in a bit. But the one thing in soccer, there's really no way to any correlation you could bring to baseball or football. These are tournaments and different events that will run concurrently with the season. That's why we had CONCACAF, which was the championship basically for Latin America, Mexico, us, and Canada. And we had to dive in while those guys had already been playing for a month or so. And then you've got the U.S. Open Cup, which is open to everything from club teams to the MLS. And, you know, if all goes well, we might actually see LAFC. If we go all the way to the championship, if we knock off, we'll have to play. If we beat St. Louis or Cincinnati, which we likely will, we'd have another team in the Eastern Conference, and we could actually play the team, which if we keep on trucking, we might see in the MLS championship game.
So now we get ready for Atlanta United action at Toronto FC. That'll be coming up on the 26th of this month. That's a Wednesday, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kick. Of course, we're your home for all things Atlanta United here. And I asked you the question earlier about how important. I know what the organization says because they want to be an international player. So all these things, CONCACAF, U.S. Open, they want to be a player in all of that. I guess as just some jabroni and some fan and some metagon that I just, the MLS Cup to me is that's where I want my focus. So like when I look at the schedule and I say, okay, well now they had a Sunday game where it was the New York Red Bulls and then you got to go to Seattle. Well, now you're going to squeeze another match in between that where you're going to play at Fifth Third Bank and just, I don't want to get back into this, our schedule was condensed, all the stuff that we heard in March and April.
Well, we went farther so far in this trip than we've had in the previous two seasons since we've started as Atlanta United. Now, the good news is you're going to play a team you probably beat. The bad news is for me, and this is nothing against Fifth Third Bank, because we went up to watch them play Herediano from Costa Rica. I had third row seats. The sight lines were amazing at Kennesaw. But, I mean, there's a difference between being in Kennesaw and rolling into Mercedes-Benz, popping a cold one at the Dos Equis bar, and then rolled right into my seats. By the way, if you are a season ticket holder, they've got you've already got your email from Atlanta United. There are a limited amount of seats available, but you can go in and order them. Otherwise, you'll have to go on a secondary ticket market to get your tickets. And we may be up at Twin Peaks that day. We'll see how it goes with the scheduling. We were last time we played up at Kennesaw. But it's a great venue. I just still, no offense, would rather be at Mercedes-Benz than makes it feel bigger.
Are they, I don't know enough about this tournament to tell you, are they considered a favorite to win this thing now at this point? I mean, are they in the driver's seat to win this thing?
Yeah. Yes, we are. Wow. LAFC scored more goals than anybody out west. It's kind of in regions, if you will, but I mean, Cincinnati's a team, which we tied with them to start the season. That was a very disappointing game itself. But we should. St. Louis is a club team, which isn't up to the MLS level just yet. And that's who either our opponents would be coming up on the 10th.
Yeah, maybe some revenge against Cincinnati FC, who we did tie earlier. That was one
of those
strange matches.
But I'm with you. If you want, you get me excited about it, put it in the big stadium, but give me a better venue. You know, for instance, in England, you have the FA Cup, which is kind of their version of this. That gets on Fox because NBC has the Premier League. Don't put it on ESPN 8 The Ocho.
Yeah,
and have a guy who sounds like Peter Brady.
And we were asking Jason Longshore in one of the breaks about the fact that, okay, as this tournament advances, will they loosen the reins at all? And wouldn't you think right now ESPN would want some programming right now? Wouldn't you think that they would want, like, you got two MLS teams, the hottest MLS team that just won the Cup.
Defending champion, the big story in North America. Right.
Wouldn't you think that they would want some, like, legitimate non-streaming programming? I don't know what they're putting on right now that, you know, other than Major League Baseball, but you would think they'd want some alternative programming or something. Or couldn't they farm it out to somebody? They couldn't farm it out to, like, some other network?
Yeah, I don't know if it conflicted with their I don't know the schedule for the College World Series beyond what's going on right now. But, I mean, there's for whatever reason, that was the lot in life. You had to find it on your computer, then, computer to a TV in a bar. Again, for a lot of younger people, it's easy. But for a guy like me who's not tech savvy, I got to do what? I got to go get my iPad? I got to do what? Put it in the input? What?
Well, I don't make full-time radio money, so I can't even get ESPN Plus or anything like that. I don't hang with all you guys around here.
You know, it is tax-deductible, by the way.
Oh, it is?
You work in the broadcast business covering sports. You got to watch sports. To watch sports, you got to have cable.
Oh, I'm just a...
It's tax-deductible.
Oh, I'm just filling for the bunker mentality. I don't know what you guys are talking
about. You
know
what? You stopped evaluating yourself.
Dukes and Bell, John Chuckery in for Carl Dukes.
And that is your Five Stripes report there, Mike brought Bell. To you by Associated Credit Union. Mike Conti is doing the... I mean, you want to talk about...
Connie.
Take him over for the team. He's up in Gatlinburg right now with the in-laws.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
My daughter just went to Gatlinburg about 2 weeks ago with her grandparents.
Her thoughts.
Up there. So she loves it up there. I mean, look, she's 10 years old. So
there you go.
What's not
when you're in your 40s, is that as fun?
I was going to say, what's not to like about Gatlinburg at 10 years old, Mike?
Right.
Now, you will never experience that, but...
No. Again, people like me aren't supposed to have kids. It was funny because we had the conversation, and we'll talk more about the Little League fiasco out in Colorado. I had a guy on Twitter saying, well, you don't even have kids. I'm like, yeah, because I'm too irresponsible. I just had the common sense to not have children. If I had kids, the state would take it away in the first place.
Now you just want all that money. When we get back, Tom Penn is going to join us. Former NBA executive, ESPN NBA analyst, and actually he's involved in LAFC as the president and owner of them as well. So he's got a lot of titles on his business card. We will talk to him next as it's been a crazy NBA offseason. Dukes and Bell, Chuck Rien for Carl Dukes, Mike Bell here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 910 in the game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.